It is great to see you, church. Thank you very much for being here, those who are able to be here in person this morning. And thank you very much to those who are tuned in to our live stream this morning. I know during class we were having a few issues. If you went to my Facebook, I say we, it wasn't our team up here. Something happens sometimes with my Facebook and Vimeo. It lost connection, and so we have now reconnected that. So you can see it through Terry Cagle Ministries or through my personal page. So those of you out there in Facebook world, just go ahead and share it, or YouTube world or Vimeo world or wherever you're watching it, go ahead and share it so we can get the message out. But those of us who are here, what a great morning we've had so far. I know that I see folks that I haven't seen in a while, and I'm so thankful to see them. Always great to see those who may be visiting with us. It's also great to see Sister Judy and Brother Larry Helton. Sister Judy was also in the hospital a little while back, but she's here with us today, and I'm so glad to see you, Sister. Great to see you guys as well. Again, God is good, and I'm so thankful that our God is good to us. I appreciate those who've led us in our worship this morning. And, you know, as I was thinking about this class, really it stems from Wednesday night. Justin and I were on stage here, and we were talking about Acts, and we were talking about Paul, and we're talking about him seeing the good, and somewhere along the way, actually the scripture that Justin referenced in 1 Kings 19, I will also use this morning, in just a moment. But we got to 1 Kings 19 talking about seeing God. And so I challenged everyone, if you didn't hear that Wednesday night, and by the way, please tune in or go back and watch our lessons. They remain on my Facebook page or YouTube or wherever. So if you want to see those, go back and see them in case you weren't able to tune in Wednesday night. But we challenged everybody. We challenged you from Wednesday to Wednesday to find ways to look around and see God. We challenged you to be able to stop what you're doing. Because let's face it, I don't know if it happened the way it did in Job chapter 1. You remember in Job 1, Satan and God essentially had a conversation. And Satan was walking to and fro the earth, really looking for people that he could devour, right? That he could consume. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I have no idea if that conversation happened and God said, "Have you considered the United States of America?" I don't know. But here we are, 2020. If there was ever a joke on the year 2020, remember how everybody was so excited that it's going to be clear vision, or it's going to be focus, or it's going to be what? Because it goes with 2020. Well, if there was ever anything to distract us and keep us from seeing God, it's this year. It's this year. Jeff mentioned about being eternally minded. And that's where we have to be. The best way for us to be eternally minded today is to look for God every day, because, folks, He's still there. I don't care how much craziness is out there. I don't care how many, pandemics we encounter. And I don't care how much culture is crazy. And I don't care how much is going on in a political war and everything else. God is still in the same place He's always been. And so our challenge to you is, yes, I want you, and Wednesday night, come on there and tell us. We're going to spend a few moments saying, how have you seen God? That's something that we enjoy doing as a family. Why do I enjoy doing that? Why did I write about it in my book? Why do I think that families need to take time and do that? Because it keeps our focus where it needs to be kept. If we will take time and look for God every day, around all kinds of circumstances, whether that's at work, whether that's in our family, whether that is in our children, whether that's in a rainbow, whether that's in a sunset, wherever we see God, we need to take note and see Him, and we need to praise Him, and we need to do as Theo read to us from Psalm 46 verse 10. There's going to be wars, there's going to be all these things, he said, but be still and know that He is God. And we need to make sure that we are seeing God every day of our lives. Go ahead now and turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. You'll recall how great Elijah was. You recall how amazing of a prophet he was. You recall that Elijah has gone down really in that hall of fame of faith, right? He is that amazing man, that amazing prophet. But there are times in Elijah's life that he had doubts. There are times that he got discouraged. Chances are there are times when he wasn't looking for God everywhere that he needed to look for Him. Well, right here in 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 11, I love the way God really sets the tone with saying, Elijah, I can be each and every place, or I can be in any place I need to be. Verse 11, then he said, this is now God, go out and stand on the mountains before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Maybe in the most unspectacular of all places, in that cave, in his fear, in all those moments, is where Elijah encounters God. You see, God, yes, we expect Him maybe to be in that great earthquake that just rattles our faith and rattles the world and rattles everything else. Or maybe we expect Him to be in some strong hurricane or tornado and just say, that's the way God's going to come back. Or maybe we say, hey, it's going to be this spectacular fire and He's blazing and there's God and that's His presence. Or He can be right there beside us in our fortress, in our safe place, in our fears, wherever it may be. God is everywhere. And we need to look around and see Him. We need to take time to look for Him. I believe that lesson is being taught here as well as any, that God can be in all of those things, or God can just be in that shadow right there beside you in that cave. God is around us. Are we looking for Him? Or are we so distracted today that we get bogged down in everything else but God? Oh no, we're here today, Terry. We're here on Sunday. We even tuned in for some Sunday school, or we came to Sunday school. We're going to share it. Hey, we're at least going to share it on our Facebook profile. We're going to do all these things. And you know, I love God and I'm there for God. But what about tomorrow? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and the dog days of the week? Are we going to be still looking for God? Or are we going to be distracted? Are we going to be distracted by the things that really at the end of the day, if we're eternally minded, do not matter? Listen, I get it that when something affects us, it's hard to take our attention off of it. But if I'm eternally minded, it's really only a fleeting memory. It's going to pass through our minds because our big picture is going to be where God is. We're going to look to Him. Bill and George this morning, I thought, they're going to talk about my story. You talked about all death and it not being final and seeing big picture and Jesus showing up and saying, don't cry. And the reason why He could say those things is because He knew what He was about to do. You see, when we know the ending, we know how things are going to turn out, then boy, it certainly takes away the distraction. There was a football game a long time ago now that it was 9 lead changes in the game. My team would go ahead. Then another team would go ahead. Then my team. 9 times that happened. During the game, if you're into that, your gut's in knots, right? Because you don't know how it's going to turn out. But I DVR'd the game. My team won in the end. And so when I rewatched the game, and the other team went ahead, I wasn't afraid, or afraid is the wrong word, but I wasn't nervous. I wasn't in turmoil. Why? Because I knew what was going to happen in the end. Isn't that the way life is today? Yeah, we're in this seesaw battle, right? We're going to get knocked down and we're going to get hurt and we're going to get the wool pulled out from under us, the rug pulled out from under us. But in the end, we know we're going to win. We know we're going to be victorious. And see, when we have that mindset, then every day of our lives, we look around and we're like, yeah, there's a lot of negative going on, but there's God. I see God today. The story I want you to turn to is found in the Gospel of John. John chapter 4. If you will, I know it says 43 on the screen, but if you will, let's pick up together in verse 46. I want to confess to you where this sermon came from. Sometimes when I'm searching for sermon ideas, you know, again, I know our overall theme, and I think about, okay, well, it's focused, so how can, again, it writes itself in this distraction, okay? But this came from my personal reading, and I'm just going to confess to you, I've read John 4, I don't know, a lot of times, and a lot of times I focus on the beginning, right? A lot of times we focus on the woman at the well, and rightfully so. What a very, very powerful story that is. But as I was reading this, and I was going through, you know, I hear John 4 at the beginning that you know, he tells that woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, that there's going to be a time when you're not going to worship me on this hill, you're not going to worship me in a temple, you can worship me anywhere as long as it's in spirit and in truth, right? And we hear that, and she goes back, and she's so excited, she leaves those water pots, and everything's going great, and everything's just perfect, but at the end of the day, I forget about the nobleman's son. And it hit me right between the eyes. And I thought, okay, I got to share that. I got to share this lesson with the church, because there's just something in it that just really struck me as one of those wow moments. So beginning with me now in verse 46, let's read it along, John chapter 4. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. That's John 2. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people, now imagine, if you will, that that this man's, there's others around Jesus, okay? He's not just saying this to this nobleman, he's talking to the Jews in general. Unless you people see signs and wonders, now signs and wonders are not two different things, just trying to give me a little bit of help here. Signs and wonders are, when they saw a miracle, well, there were signs of it and there were wonders, of course. He said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way and your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Now, why did that hit me? Yes, there's a miracle, and it's one of the first miracles of Jesus raising someone from the dead. But really, where it struck me is that this nobleman, okay, he understood his son lives, and if that's you and me, that's really all that matters. Let's just be real about it, right? He went to Jesus. He goes to him and he meets up with him and he says, hey, my son's dying. Well, Jesus says, hey, you guys are not going to believe unless you see signs and wonders. He didn't stop. He said, hey, I need you to keep my son alive. I need you to make him alive. Well, at that moment, as Jesus keeps going and the nobleman keeps going, that Jesus heals this man, he thought back at the same exact hour that he made contact with Jesus Christ. And I've never thought of it in that way, really. Let's just say, for instance, today, we go out this afternoon at lunch, and this is all, of course, make-believe, and we've got somebody in our family that was sick. Maybe it is a child. And we encounter Jesus Christ, right? And He says, okay, and we meet up with Him at 2:22 in the afternoon. And at that moment, He tells, you know, our son, He says, your son's going to live. So we go and we're walking about our way, and somebody says, hey, your son's alive, your child's alive. I mean, at that point, I don't care about what time it was. But this nobleman was so just bogged down in the details, he thought back, what time did I meet Jesus? He didn't have a watch. He didn't have a phone. He, you know, this was something that he really had to set his mind around. What time? And then it was at that very hour he got better. Could you imagine what that time meant to him? The rest of his life? You know, I see on Facebook, at such and such hour, my child was born. You remember that time. You remember the times your children were born. Not just the day, the times. Why? It was a significant event. You see your child every day and you love your child every day and you're never going to forget those moments. Are we going to forget the time we met Jesus? Have we forgotten the time that we met Jesus? You see, Jesus has not maybe brought some of your family back to life, right? Now again, I know answered prayers and people have been on their deathbed and they get better. I'm not talking about that. But I'm not talking about in a miraculous way here, even though technically he's not dead. He brings him back to life, right? He brings him back as far as, you know, this sickness leaves him and everything else. So we haven't had that moment, but we went down in the water, right? We went down in the water. Guess what? At that moment, our lives were saved. Our lives were changed. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember that time? Do you remember that day? Or have we forgotten it? This nobleman's son remembered the very hour. You see, he saw God. And he never forgot Him. So, it reminds me today, three things as we get ready to get into maybe the lessons that you can take with you today. Number one, when it comes to seeing God, it's very simple. I like simplicity. If we aren't looking, we will not find Him. If we aren't looking, we will not find Him. I want you to look back at the text, and it says, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. If your son was sick and you knew somebody had the cure, if your daughter was sick and somebody had the cure, would you go look for him? If somebody had the cure to cancer, would you go look for him? Sure you would. Well, it's very expensive. That's fine. If they've got the cure to cancer, if they've got a pill, if this person can do it, I will mortgage my house. I will mortgage my vehicles. I will cash out my 401k. I will do whatever it takes to see that person. Why? Because it's gotten our attention, right? Somebody's sick and they've got the cure. Well, do you think this nobleman saw Jesus? He sought Jesus. Why? Because his child was sick. My question is, why does it have to get that bad? Why does it have to get that bad for us to look for Jesus? Why does it have to get that bad for us to be able to say, okay, now at this point, I've been brought to my knees. Why can't we do it in the good times? Like we said, he's all around us, right? He's everywhere we turn. He's everywhere we look. All we got to do is look. All we've got to do is seek. You see, if I'm not looking for Jesus Christ, I'm not going to find Him. You know what I am going to find? Misery. Negativity. Hatred. Things that cause conflict at the water cooler or on social media or wherever. If I want to find evil, if I want to find negativity, it's there. But if I want to find God and I want to see God, He's there as well. Secondly, this morning, we're not going to find Jesus, we're not going to find God in the wrong places. I know you're thinking, wow, Terry, those are no-brainers, but I want to just reemphasize that sometimes we look for Him in all the wrong places. That's not where He's going to be. Look back at verse 47. When He heard that Jesus had come out of Judea in Galilee, He went to Him and implored Him to come down and heal His son, for He was at the point of death. I like there that it says, when He heard. Capernaum was a distance of some 16 miles from where Jesus was. There was hills and there was rough terrain. But guess what? He still went. Because He was looking for Him in all the right places. Now, that may mean that we've got to go through some tough spots, or we got to give up some tough things. Maybe I need to purge some things out of my life today. You know, I haven't been to church. I haven't, you know, tuned in to worship and live stream. I haven't worshiped as a family. I haven't done these things. And you know what? My children are just, they're drifting away because I'm all about having fun and I'm all about this. And then something happens. I'm like, God, where were you? Where were you? Why weren't you there for me? You know what God's saying? He said, I haven't moved. You've been looking in all the wrong places. You see, it comes down to priorities. That's what seeing God every day does. It puts our priorities where they need to be. My priority is not how popular my children can be, how many views they get on some silly, maybe even sinful dance on TikTok. Is that what I really want for my children? Is that what I really want for my family? To, at the end of the day, blame the church, blame the preacher, blame the youth minister, blame God? Is that what that nobleman did? No, he went over the rough terrain. He went over the hills. He walked the miles because he knew there was only one answer for his son. He wasn't searching in all the wrong places. He was searching for Jesus in the right places. Finally, this morning, if we're going to see God, we must be fully devoted to looking for Him. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read some of this story now with that mindset, okay? Verse 48, then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. You see, that's fully devoted, right? Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, was it a test? Unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. He didn't stop. He didn't let one little bump in the road, one little test in the road get him distracted. He said, please come down to my son. Verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. Again, he didn't have proof. He had 16 miles to get home in tech. He just had to trust Him. That's fully devoted. He went his way. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said, yesterday at the seventh hour. Again, now this was a long journey for these guys. It wasn't like that they could hop in their car and be home in the next few minutes. But I love verse 53. In fact, I encourage you to put this one in your memory banks. Verse 53. So the Father knew. The Father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said, your son lives. And He Himself believed, and all His household. That father was fully devoted to seeing and trusting and obeying God. Today we need fathers who are fully devoted. Today we need mothers who are fully devoted. Today we need children of of the age of accountability to be fully devoted. We need grandparents to be fully devoted. We need friends to be fully devoted. We need deacons to be fully devoted. We need ministry leaders to be fully devoted. We need ministers to be fully devoted. We need Bible class teachers to be fully devoted. We need elders to be fully devoted. How do you focus on God today? How do you get rid of these distractions? Guys, I can't make them go away. Trust me, I'd already done it, right? I'd have snapped our fingers and we'd have filled this place back up and we'd have gotten this blue tape off the pews and we'd have quit wearing masks and we'd have been if we could do it, we'd do it. But we can't. So we've got to play the hand that's dealt to us. Oh, by the way, God didn't say, Satan, if you attack him with a pandemic, or you create the media hysteria that's out there, I'm going to give them a break this year. They don't have to come. They don't have to be there. I'm just going to give them a break. That's not what he said. No, he expects us still to be fully devoted. He expects us to see him. Do you know? Can you remember? You see, the Father knew. In closing, I want to share with you the words of this song. Just walked down the street to the coffee shop. Had to take a break. I've been by her side for 18 hours straight. Saw a flower growing in the middle of the sidewalk, pushing up through the concrete like it was planted right there for me to see. The flashing lights, the honking horns, all seemed to fade away. But in the shadow of the hospital at 5:08, I saw God today. I've been to church. I've read the book. I know He's here. But I don't look near as often as I should. Yeah, I know I should. His fingerprints are everywhere. I just look down to stop and stare. Open my eyes and then I swear I saw God today. Saw a couple walking by. They were holding hands and she had that glow. Yeah, I couldn't help but notice she was starting to show. Stood there for a minute, taking in the sky. Lost in that sunset, a splash of amber melting into shades of red. I've been to church, I've read the book, I know He's here, but I don't look near as often as I should. Yeah, I know I should. His fingerprints are everywhere. I just look down and stop and stare, open my eyes, and then I swear, I saw God today. Got my face pressed up against the nursery glass. She's sleeping like a rock, my name on her wrist, wearing tiny pink socks. She's got my nose, she's got her mama's eyes, my brand new baby girl. She's a miracle. I saw God today. I don't know if you've seen God today. I hope that we all have, since He's right here in the midst of us. I don't know if when you leave out of here and you go to wherever you're going to go to eat or wherever you're going to go to do the rest of the day, I don't know if we're going to get so wrapped up in tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and the rest of the school year or we're going to get so wrapped up in virtual learning versus hybrid learning versus in-class learning versus is there going to be college football this year? Are they going to quit burning these cities down? Is this going to end when the election's over? Or are we going to worry about this and we're going to worry about that? Or somebody made me mad or I don't have enough views or I don't have enough likes? I don't know if that's on your agenda. But one thing I want to challenge us all is to get rid of that garbage, at least for a little while, and truly see God. Today, you don't have an opportunity just to see God. You have an opportunity to meet God, to know God. And I want to encourage all of you today, if you do not know Him, walk this aisle. Be immersed in His Son's blood. enter into a saved relationship with Him through the act and waters of baptism. See God. Know God. Come to God. Right now, together, we stand and sing.